We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. It's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. Alright, so I'm going to leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
I love that video. Welcome to Redemption Church. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here, and I'm glad to see you all in the house of God today. I'm glad to see everybody here in the house of God today. We got some special guests. And what you've just watched was the marshmallow test. I'd like to talk to you about the marshmallow test today. All right, are you guys ready? So, it's pretty easy to understand. You take the test subjects, usually children, and you say, I'm going to give you this marshmallow. This is your marshmallow. In fact, I happen to have some marshmallows here with me today. I'm going to give you a marshmallow, and you can eat it right now, or I'm going to step away for a little bit, and when I come back, if you haven't eaten that marshmallow, then I'll give you another marshmallow. And then you get two, but you have to wait. If you can wait, you get two, or you can just eat the first one right now, but then you don't get another one, okay? So that's the way the marshmallow test works. It's somewhat famous. I mean, they've made videos of it on YouTube. It was first done at Stanford University back in 1970. And they did it with 600 kids between the ages of 4 and 6. And they found that the kids that were able to wait, they had greater ability to defer gratification. Then they checked back on them 18 years later. This was a really long, extended study. And they found that those kids tended to do better in life. Because if you can wait for that second marshmallow, maybe you can also put off watching TV to do your homework. Maybe you can also put off hanging out with your friends to do other things that you need to do that's important to life. So that's the marshmallow test. Everybody understand it? Everybody's got it? All right. Well, I'd actually like to do a marshmallow test here today. We've got some very special, wonderful guests here with us today. How you guys doing? Good? Good. All right. Well, hey, do you guys like marshmallows?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Well, we're going to do the marshmallow test. All right. So if, as Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. All right. I got 3 plates here. Hey, Hudson. Hey, all right. I got a plate here. Hey, come around here, you guys. Stand on this side. Come on around.
Okay.
I got a plate for Hudson. And, hey, Will, you want to come around here? Here. I got a plate. What's this plate say? What's that plate say?
Will.
Oh, that's your plate. I got extras. All right. I came prepared. Now, everybody gets a marshmallow. Now you can, everybody watching? Hey, Ian, I got a marshmallow for you. You can eat it now, or if you can wait for 5 minutes, you can have 2 if you don't eat it right away, okay? All right, so we got 1 for Ian. We got 1 for Hudson. Now, Hudson, if you don't eat it, I'll give you another one, okay?
Okay,
so there's your marshmallow. And Will, this is your marshmallow. If you don't eat it, if you wait for 5 minutes, then you can have another one. All right. So if we, now while they're doing that, what I want you guys to do, I want you to get up, stretch your legs. You can use the restroom if you need to. But I want you to talk with each other. This is what I want you to discuss. Don't leave, please. Discuss, is our faith, is our Christian faith a marshmallow test? Is our faith like the marshmallow test? Talk it out with each other. If you're watching this at home, pause the video and think about it for a little bit. Seven.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
All right. We can take that down. Is everybody back in here? Is anybody missing? Okay, yeah. We had a marshmallow test. Let's see how we did. We got a plate for Ian, but no marshmallow. Was it good? Yes, good. I'm glad. Hudson also enjoyed his marshmallow. He was a little disappointed that that was all there was. But what's this?
One marshmallow.
And so you get another marshmallow. And now you can eat them if you want. Excellent work. All right. Thank you so much for helping me. You can take your plate and your marshmallow. Yeah. You ready to go to Treehouse? Thank you very much for our helpers. Thank you, kids. We love you guys. Amen. All right. So that's how they did. Now, how did you guys do? Did you guys talk about it? Is our faith like the marshmallow test? Let's sort of simplify it. Who says yes, our faith is kind of like the marshmallow test? Let's see a show of hands. See a couple over here. Oh, that's awesome of you guys to separate yourself. All the yeses over here and all the noes over here. That's amazing. Thank you so much. All right. Well, is our faith like the marshmallow test? Sort of. I can see some similarities, right? In general, we resist the pleasures of this world with a hope and an expectation of the joy to come. That's kind of like the marshmallow test. We're waiting. We're waiting for Christ to return. The marshmallow test is all about waiting. We resist temptation. That marshmallow right there, that can be pretty tempting. But in this life, in our faith life, we are called to resist temptation to sin. And if we're able to resist, then if we have that self-control, we will be better equipped for life. Our life will go better. Just like in the marshmallow test, they found that the kids who were able to wait did better later in life. In a way, the marshmallow is kind of like sin. I could see that comparison, right? It's tempting. It looks innocent. And if you're on a diet, maybe you know, I really shouldn't eat that, but it looks good. It smells good. You know it tastes good. It's soft and fluffy. It's harmless, right? Well, yes and no. It's only good for a season. I mean, you eat it, and then it's gone. And then where's my next marshmallow? You saw Hudson. He was sort of upset when it was gone. Then that was it. Well, sin is only fun for a season. It might be nice briefly, but then that's gone. And it can leave you kind of empty. Marshmallows, they taste good, but there's not a lot of nutrition in here. They're kind of empty. They don't do anything good for you. In fact, if all you ever ate were marshmallows, that would hurt you. You'd get a stomach ache. You'd probably have some tooth decay. So over time, that would hurt you. Over time, sin hurts us if we indulge in it. Sin is harmful to us. It's not good. So I can see a comparison between the marshmallow and sin, but when we apply that to the marshmallow test, I'm holding off, I'm resisting this marshmallow, and then at the end, I get two marshmallows. Well, in our faith life, if we resist the temptation to sin, at the end, we really get to sin good. We get double sin, yeah. No, that doesn't make any sense. There are some beliefs where the things you can't do in this world that are sinful, you actually get to do in the next world. Yeah. Don't all rush out the door. You didn't pick the wrong religion. The things that we're promised in the afterlife. We just got finished talking about the afterlife in the afterlife sermon series. I encourage you to check out those sermon videos if you missed them. The things that we're promised are so far beyond the pleasures of this world, they don't even compare. If we could really get a picture of the good things that are coming in that afterlife, in our life after this world, the stuff in this world wouldn't even tempt us anymore. It's like nothing by comparison. So in that, the marshmallow test analogy kind of breaks down a little bit. So maybe the marshmallow isn't a good metaphor for sin. We'll come back to that in a minute. But the marshmallow test is kind of like our faith life in that it depends on trust. Trust is very important to the marshmallow test. In fact, it's been run over and over throughout the years, and scientists have found that trust is a key component. If the kids don't trust the scientist, that the scientist is going to come back and is going to give them another marshmallow, then they're just going to eat that first one. They don't believe that there's any point in waiting. Well, so it is with our faith life. A lot of people don't have faith, don't put a lot of credibility in Christianity because they don't trust that it's real. Maybe they don't trust the people that brought it to them, that shared it with them. When you're sharing your faith with others, when you're sharing the gospel, when you're reaching out to others, they have to be able to trust that you believe what you're saying. If they see you saying one thing and living another way, then they're not going to trust that any of this is real. Trust is a key component of our faith, not just for other people. I mean, we put our trust in God. We trust that the Bible's true. Trust is really important for us. Our faith will only carry us as far as we trust in God. Our faith only extends as far as we trust in God. If we don't trust that God's going to help us out in a certain situation, if we don't trust that God's with us, then we're probably not going to step into that situation. If we don't trust that God's really calling us to share the gospel, well, then we're not going to share the gospel. All right? So trust is important for us, just like the marshmallow test. We need to trust in God. He is the ultimate trustworthy being. We don't always live or act that way, but let me tell you, it's true. If you let all men be liars, we can trust in God. God is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as you're stepping out in your faith, as you're living out your faith life, always trust in God. And the marshmallow test is similar to a very specific aspect of our faith. Fasting. Dun, dun, dun. This is not a very popular subject. We don't talk about it a whole lot here at Redemption Church. As far as I'm aware, churches in general don't talk about it much these days. A lot of you may have heard of it in the context of medical procedures. You're getting a cholesterol test, so you have to fast for 8 hours beforehand. Or sometimes when you're going to undergo surgery, you fast beforehand. Some of you may be familiar with it in the context of a diet. There's a diet called intermittent fasting, where you eat and don't eat at certain periods of time. Other religions put a big emphasis on fasting. The Muslim religion, during Ramadan, they fast. The Jewish religion, they have a period in which they fast. Well, fasting is a big part of our Christian religion, too. It's a big deal. It's all throughout the Bible. But you'd think it was written in disappearing ink, because we read over those passages and then forget that it said fasting. Wait, oh, did that say that in there? I must have missed that. Fasting, what? Who knew? Huh. At least that's how we act. I mean, we don't talk about it. We don't do it. We don't think about it, because it's not real fun. Fasting, for those of you who aren't aware, generally refers to abstaining from eating food. But nowadays, we've applied it to other things. It can be to a particular food. You can fast from meat, or you can fast from coffee, or you can fast from nearly anything. In fact, nowadays, we sometimes apply it to other things. You can fast from social media. I'm not going to get on Facebook for a certain period of time. You can fast from different things. But it's more than just abstaining from that thing. When we use it in a religious context, it's not just about what you don't do. It's about what you fill that time with. The purpose of it in our faith is that we would use that little bit of our life that would normally be dedicated to eating to focus more on God. We get real hung up on the not doing this part, and we forget all about the what else should we be doing. Fasting is a big deal. Let me make that case to you. It's throughout the Bible, as I said. Jesus gives us instructions for fasting in Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. Let's take a look. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus spends a couple verses giving us instructions about how to fast. Why would he do that if he didn't expect us to do it? Amen? Yeah. But how often do we? It's all throughout the Bible. Jesus encounters his disciples one day, and they're trying to cast a demon out of a boy, and they're unable to do it. And in some versions of the Bible, he tells them, well, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Fasting can be powerful. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. And it's one that we need to cultivate. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'd like to call on us to, if we've sort of fallen away from that, if we've ignored that part of our faith, I want to call on all of us to get back to that, to examine that, maybe do some fasting. Now, it's not a legalistic thing. If you don't fast, if you get up to the pearly gates, the big throne of judgment, Jesus is going to say, well, you put your trust in me, you lived a good life, you were compassionate, but I'm sorry, I don't see a single time where you fasted. Oh, except when you were going in for surgery. Sorry. No, I don't think it's our salvation depends on our fasting. Fasting doesn't make us special. We don't get the gold star in God's eyes. It doesn't make God love us more. All right? In fact, that's one of the things Jesus was kind of warning about, was using fasting for the wrong purpose. The Pharisees were fasting and letting everybody know that they were fasting. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, get behind me, Satan. Oh, I'm fasting. I must strengthen my faith. I've been fasting for 10 days. So that to let everybody know how religious they were, how fancy they were. But Jesus says, nah, that's not what it's for. It's not to let other people know that you're super spiritual. It's not to punish you. Oh, I'm so hungry, but that's good because I'm a miserable jerk and I deserve to be hungry. That's not really the purpose of it. The purpose is to bring us closer to God. Fasting doesn't help God hear you. Fasting's tied to prayer a lot. Through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. They sought the Lord with prayer and fasting. Throughout the Bible, those two things are often mentioned together. Well, fasting doesn't help God hear you better. He's God. He can hear you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, He can hear you when you call on him, when you pray to him. Fasting, among other things, helps you hear God. All right? Fasting turns down the volume on those other things in our life that we can get really hung up on or spend a lot of time focusing on. It tends to shift our focus from those things to God. In a way, it tends to shift our focus from ourselves to God. That's the purpose. Through fasting, we empty ourselves of the things of this world, of ourselves and our worldly desires, so that God can then fill us with his presence, with his spirit. It's so that we can grow closer to him and be in closer touch with him. So fasting is good. Amen. Amen. If you've never done it, if you've never experienced it, I would encourage you to try it, check it out. But it's important that you go into it with the right spirit. Because Jesus warns us against fasting the wrong way, with the wrong intention behind it. Sometimes we can go into it with the best intention, but we can focus on the wrong thing. I'm so hungry. I can't wait till this fast is over because I'm going to eat a giant cheeseburger. I'm so hungry. Oh my gosh, it's only been a minute. Darn it. Oh, I'm so hungry. I mean, I've been there. I can understand that. But really, every time we think to ourselves, man, I'm hungry, we should think, thank God that He's with me. Lord, give me strength. Thank you for the strength that you've given me. Thank you for helping me through this time. Lord, help me to hear what you have to say for me. Be with me through this time. It's not about us and what we're doing. It's about putting our focus on Him. Fasting humbles us. It shows us how much we depend on Him. There's a lot of things you can reflect on as you're praying and fasting and talking to God. There's a lot of people who fast but don't do it by choice. There's a lot of people throughout the world who don't have a whole lot to eat, and they don't get to eat very often. Well, hey, man, God, it's so rare that I'm hungry that this is a new experience for me. I'm really hungry right now, God, but man, thank you that it's like that. Because there are people around the world who hungry is the default. And when they actually get to eat something, that's the unique experience. For me, when I fast, oh my gosh, what is this strange sensation? I'm hungry. Oh, well, there's something you can thank God for. There's a lot to God. Amen? Well, if you want to fill up your time that you're not spending on food or social media or whatever you're fasting from, God's got plenty. He's got more than enough. And it's amazing when we start talking to Him and asking Him to fill us up and give us strength, all the things that He has for us. So, fasting. I've sort of come back to that myself in my personal life. And I don't tell you this because I'm very fancy and super spiritual instead of all you chumps. No, I've rediscovered fasting a little bit, and I encourage all of you to take a look at it. Pray about it. Fasting, in a way, is kind of like the marshmallow test. We put off what is right in front of us, what's available to us, and instead try to shift our focus towards something else. So in a way, that's kind of like the marshmallow test. Some people treat their faith like a marshmallow test, their faith in general. They have to resist that marshmallow. Whatever that marshmallow may be, I've got to resist the marshmallow. And sometimes they're like that one kid in the video. Oh, no, I've got to be strong and resist that marshmallow. Oh, and then they see somebody else eating their marshmallow, and they're like, no, look at that guy. Oh, don't you know? We got to resist our marshmallow. Oh. Some people treat their faith like the marshmallow test. Maybe you treat church like a marshmallow test. You go to a room, you sing some songs, you listen to a guy talk at you for a while, you put off watching football for an hour or two, and if you do that enough, well, then you get a reward. Amen. Right? Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you view your relationship with God like a marshmallow test, that he set everything up, and now he's sitting back waiting to see if you will eat your marshmallow, then I challenge you to maybe change your thinking a little bit. All right? I thought about this question a lot. Is our faith like the marshmallow test? As I said, there's some similarities I can see, sort of in some ways, but overall, I would say no. Our faith is not meant to be like a marshmallow test. Our faith is not something that we should suffer through. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Amen. When you saw some of those kids in the video, did they look like they were rejoicing? No, can't eat my marshmallow. No, that's not rejoicing. We're meant to enjoy our faith life. We're meant to rejoice. The Bible says throughout, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Our faith life is not meant to be something agonizing. It's meant to be something awesome, something fun that we enjoy right now. Right now. And our faith life isn't done in isolation. The marshmallow test, it has a very scientific test setup where there's one child. In the video, there was one time when they had two siblings, in taking the test. But in the real test, there's one child, one table, one marshmallow, one chair. The scientist leaves the room and comes back in 15 minutes. But our faith life isn't meant to be done in isolation. We're meant to share our faith. Our faith life isn't a competition in the marshmallow test. Oh, the kids who can put off their marshmallow, eating their marshmallow, will do better in life. They're better, smarter kids. They're going to succeed. And those other poor chumps, they're going to end up, I don't know, doing a job. I don't want to name any job because there's somebody that does that job that's very nice, and I don't want to insult them. But too bad for them, those chumps. No, our faith life isn't meant to be a competition. The enemy wants to isolate us and turn our faith into a competition. Jesus told a parable about two men who went to the temple. One of them was a Pharisee, and he stepped right up and, "I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. I fast a couple times a week, and I tithe on everything. I thank you, Lord, that I'm so good. I thank you that I'm not like that guy over there." And meanwhile, that guy was just saying, "Hey, have mercy on me, Lord. I'm sorry. I ate my marshmallow, and I'm sorry. Have mercy on me." And Jesus says, that's the guy that left justified. Look at me. I didn't eat as much as that guy. Yeah. See, God? See? I got most of mine left. He's licking the plate. Our faith isn't a competition. Our faith isn't meant to be done in isolation. The early church got together all the time. They gathered for fellowship. They gathered at the temple. They gathered to break bread together. They had everything in common. So, this isn't just my marshmallow. This is your marshmallow too. And yours. And yours. And yours. And yours. That's how our faith is meant to be. That we share. We do things together. Man, how weird would it be? That would mess the whole marshmallow test up. All right, little Jimmy. Here you go. Here's your marshmallow. If you wait, I'm going to leave. If it's still there when I come back, then I'll give you a second marshmallow. And by the way, over here, this is Bobby. Say hello, Bobby.
Hello.
All right, Bobby. He's going to sit here. If he gets hungry, he's just going to eat your marshmallow. Have fun. I mean, that'd be so weird. They would fighting over the marshmallow. Yeah. That's not how our faith life is meant to be. We share freely. We have things in common. If somebody's hungry, if somebody wants a marshmallow, hey, we share. Yeah. All right. So look alive, people. It's getting interactive. All right. With God, there is forgiveness. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. When your marshmallow is gone, Chris, what happened to that marshmallow I gave you?
It's gone.
It's gone? It's gone. Dang it. When it's gone, there's another. I told you earlier that the marshmallow doesn't really represent sin real well. I mean, there's some similarities. We can make that metaphor. But in terms of the marshmallow test, the marshmallow shouldn't really represent sin. So instead, let's say it represents God's blessing in our life, His love, His grace, His mercy. Well, let me tell you, when that's gone, when it's never gone, when you use it up, God, I'm sorry, I need some mercy. I've messed up. Give me some mercy, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not gone for good. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, you exhausted it. No, there's always more.
Yeah.
God's blessing in our life is inexhaustible. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, let's take a look. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Well, that's kind of like the marshmallow test, except that His mercies, His love, His compassion, it's inexhaustible. They're not just new every morning. They're new all the time. He pours out blessing into our life. That's awesome. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, what does that mean for us? Well, if the marshmallow supply is inexhaustible, am I just going to see how many I can stuff in my mouth and give the rest of this sermon? I might do that. That'd be pretty awesome. But no, we got extra marshmallows. How good are you at catching? Hey, we're meant to share. Marshmallow? Hey? Oh, don't worry. I hope the floor's clean, but I got more. Don't even chance it. The reward is already available. Yeah, amen. Do you get that?
Yeah.
We are waiting for Christ to come, and that's going to be amazing. That's going to be even better than two marshmallows. That's going to be beyond what we can even understand, so good.
Yes.
But, hey, His love for us, His blessings, it's already available to us. He's already pouring it out in our lives. And if somebody comes along and takes our marshmallow, hey, that's cool. God loves them too. He's got more for us. Don't worry about it.
Woo.
Chill out.
Good.
Amen. That's awesome. Anybody? We got lots of marshmallows. Yep. Oh, don't worry. We got tons. They're almost inexhaustible. I got to save some for the kids afterwards. But the reward is already available. God's love, God's blessing in our life, that's already here for us right now.
Yeah.
So, a lot of times people have the wrong idea about church. Folks have the wrong idea about churchy folks. They think, here comes that guy. He goes to church. I got to hide my marshmallow because he's going to try and take it away. He's going to tell me I can't have my marshmallow. And I got what? Hey, Pete, how you doing? Just great. I'm doing great. Nothing just right here. No, we don't want to take away people's marshmallows. In fact, we want to share Do you want more? We got more than you can handle. Come on. We are called to share God's blessings. It's not just that we should. I mean, when I got a big sack full of marshmallows that I don't want to take home, what am I going to do? I'm going to try and give them away as much as I can. I'll throw them everywhere. But we're called. We're called to share. He's going to give us more than we can handle, more than we can give away. So we need to be, really unloading these marshmallows. Look, dude, here, please. You got to come. Hey, God loves you so much, I can't even describe it. Here, take some more. Can I give you some more? If somebody comes along and takes one, awesome, thank you so much. That's not like, oh, my marshmallow, bring it back here. No, thank you so much for taking that. Jesus tells us, if anybody takes anything from you, don't expect it back. If anybody asks you for anything, hey, give them that and give them some more. God's got you covered. We need to be, yeah, amen, he said that. How much do we trust in him? To get back to that trust issue, how much do we trust that the things he says are true? We're not taking away people's marshmallows. We got more than we can handle. We're trying to give them away. We're called to share God's blessings with everyone we meet. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's people out there that don't know. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Amen. Hallelujah. So share your marshmallows. Other people outside the church tend to hide their marshmallows. Well, if you see somebody, or how you doing there, pal? Nothing, I'm doing fine. Oh, it looks like you don't got too many marshmallows. Here, take 3 or 4, take 12. I mean, how weird, that weirds people out when they think you're the fun police and you're going to shut them down. Nah, man. Hey, God loves you. That's kind of what Jesus did. He hung out with people. He talked to them. He loved them. He had compassion for them. The ones that especially, not many people had compassion for. Well, let us do the same. Share your marshmallows eagerly. Share your blessings eagerly. When God blesses your life, maybe that's not just for you. Hey, oh man, so you can share it through your testimony. Hey, God helped me to find this button. Let me tell you all about it. I've been trying to tell anybody I can. But you can also share it through, oh, hey, I had a windfall at work. I got an unexpected bonus. Hey, let's share it. What can I do for you? Who can I share this with? Who can I share my time with? Be eager to share God's blessing in your life. Your marshmallow test is to see how many you can give away. That's our test. As Christians, it's not how long can we make it last. How long can we get by on this one marshmallow? I better slow down. No, we want to give them away. We want to share it as much as we possibly can. And to do that, we need to be in touch with God. We need to be in touch with him to be really effective. He's the source of the marshmallows. He directs us to people who need a few extra marshmallows in their life. So we need to be connected with him. That's the first thing we tell you to do when you leave here. Is connect with God. So, that's the last thing that's really crucially different about our faith and the marshmallow test. In the marshmallow test, as I said, there's a very scientific setup to the test. It's done in a very specific way. Child sits down, here's your marshmallow. I'm going to go away for 15 minutes, and when I come back, if it's still there, I'll give you 2 marshmallows. Well, if that's going to be a metaphor for our faith, then the scientist represents God, right? That's fair to say. Well, let me tell you, God doesn't leave the room. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's awesome. God, a lot of people view life like a marshmallow test, that God set everything up and then left, and now he's just watching. He's watching to see, is that marshmallow going to get eaten or not? I got my eye on you, Chris Fluitt. Are you going to eat that marshmallow or not? Let's see what happens, huh? But he's watching on his from his lazy boy in some remote location. Yeah. No, he never left the room. He is here with us. He is in us. Through his spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, when we need him, when we call out to him, he's there for us. Hey, God, I ate my marshmallow. Hey, God, I messed up. I made a mistake. Here you go. I got mercy for you. I got love for you. Hey, God, I need you. I'm going through something that's really tough right now. I need help. I need strength. I'm right here. I got it for you. Here, take some extra. Share it. God doesn't leave the room. In fact, God is here with us right now. God is present with us here in this room, in this place. Do you know that?
Yes.
I hope so. I hope so. God is with you wherever you're at. God is there. So, that's the whole reason behind the last thing we do, the third thing every time we gather. I invite you all to come forward. This is the third thing. We're going to gather up here at the front, and we're going to talk to God because he's here with us. He is present. So come on. Gather up at the front. We're going to talk to God.